Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live. This is my handsome husband, Harold.
And that's my fine wife, Bev. And you know,
In
13 days.
13 days.
We will have been married 45 years.
Wow.
In fact, God loved me so much that he gave me you.
Oh, that is very sweet.
It's true. And I actually personalized a scripture for you some years back. And Proverbs 18:22. I put it down for you now. It's personalized for us, but you can personalize it for you.
That's right, yours.
And if you're, well, Brother Harold, I'm single. Well, then just
put the Lord
when
in there.
Boaz found in your name. You know, then you can make it personalized
for
the way
the
you
woman,
want it.
And if it wasn't, or when you found Ruth, or I guess that's right, Ruth and Boaz. Okay. Anyway, it's all good.
When Harold found Bev, he found a good thing and received favor from the Lord.
There you go. Proverbs
13, 22. Real interesting, the scripture right above that. Says there's life and death in the power of the tongue.
So be careful what you're confessing.
So I think there's actually a reason there's that progression. That scripture. But more about our 45th wedding anniversary on another day.
Okay.
Last Sunday night, we had
right.
the conference call, the streaming live. We had people all over the world tuned in.
It was great.
Playback was phenomenal. And we taught the next step to your year of unlimited miracles. Now, to God be the glory for that.
Amen.
It was just phenomenal. And for the record, our next call will be Sunday night, March 12th.
That's right.
Sunday night, March 12th at 6 p.m.
Second Sunday in March.
Second Sunday in March. So circle on your calendar. Put it in your smartphone or toy.
Whatever
you use. Electronic toy, whatever you use.
Whatever you use.
But don't you hear what I'm going to say very carefully. If you did not join our live streaming service or dial into the phone call or read what was in the Rich Thoughts for Rich Thoughts
email on
Wednesday, or see the article on the front of our website. Well, I want you to know you not only missed a blessing, but more importantly, you missed a clear word from the Lord about your financial future and how to change it.
But you haven't totally missed it.
My wife says you haven't missed your opportunity.
That's right.
So you haven't. You can go to HaroldHerring.com. It's on the home page. Or you can click Join Harold and Bev Sunday Night. Look down below tonight's outline and you'll see it. And you can watch the entire program again.
Amen.
And I encourage you to do so. You do not want to miss this Rhema word that God has for your future.
Changing your life.
Changing your life. Tonight, seven keys.
Seven keys.
To your unlimited.
Unlimited.
Financial. Success.
Woo! Success.
Number one, aggressively use your faith and believe for a return.
Amen.
Now, we're going to state some absolute biblical facts. They're actually fundamental to the principle of increase put in the Bible by the Lord on our behalf.
That's right. God himself. He's the one who set it up.
What you have to do is believe for a return. I'm going to share some statements that may sound a little just general, but get them down in you.
These are fundamental.
They are.
Really. This is fundamental in understanding and believing.
Belief or return on your giving, you should expect to receive, expect a financial miracle and breakthrough when you give.
That's right. You must give to receive, okay? And that being said, you have to understand that the only thing that God can multiply is the seed that you plant. I mean, that is, farmers don't misunderstand that. So that's what we're saying. You can only receive what you know, he's only going to multiply what you plant. So when nothing multiplied by nothing equals nothing. And that's the point of it. That's a fundamental, but people miss it. But this is the next step.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Well, not a country and western song.
I think it was just a song.
Just a song.
But anyway.
But it's true.
It is.
But here's something else
that's
true.
You have to give to receive.
Give and it'll be given unto you. Mm-hmm. We need to fundamentally understand and believe that God uses seed time and harvest to prosper us. It was his intent, not something that the church or some preacher came up with. It's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. In fact, the first law of the Bible is about seed time and harvest.
Yeah.
The very first mention.
The point being that you have to give, you give expecting to receive. And that's what we were really saying. These are fundamental, but there, I'll tell you, we were talking about this today. Because there are a lot of people who mostly follow us. We're picking up new people all the time, though. Those of you who follow us along, you have heard these principles, and we get to where it's second nature with us. But there are people who hear, you know, if you give something, you're supposed to expect something in return. And they go, oh, no, I could never ask God. I mean, if I'm giving, I should just be giving, and I shouldn't be receiving anything. Hey, he's the one who made up the law. We didn't. The preacher down the street didn't. You know, the point of, and it used to be, this was what was taught. Well, you know, that's just a preacher trying to get my money. Look, it's a win-win situation. When you give, the kingdom is funded. But God always pays a return on the seed that goes in the ground. I mean, that is a fundamental. And the more you study those scriptures and understand them, then that's where it comes. You should be expecting. Yes, you should be expecting a return on your seed. A farmer doesn't plant, go out there and work hard. You know, like we work hard for our money and we plant it in the kingdom of God. Well, a farmer is not going to go out and plant all that seed in the ground and then go, well, you know, I'm not expecting anything to come up. God made the principle. He wants us to understand, yes, it was for us. And it's a way he made increase into your life. That's the way he brings increase into the life of a Christian.
True. Some years back, I wrote a teaching called 7 Reasons You Give to Get.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, you don't give to get. Well, you give your heart to Jesus, you get
to
saved.
Get, that's right. Amen.
And I had 7 of those that you go through. If you you give time to prayer, you get prayer's answer.
That's right.
You know, it's just, and there's 7 things if you give, 7 things you give to get.
Everything multiplies.
And everything multiplies. It absolutely does.
That's right.
See, what we need to understand is God is our source. And we should never look to man to be our source.
That's right.
But unfortunately, we do. Mm. And let me just say this. A pity party will never get God's attention. Never get his attention. No matter how bad your situation is, God's not going to feel sorry for you. Because he's not moved by need. He's moved by faith.
That's right.
He's moved by faith. And the faith that makes a difference.
That's right.
And he's given us everything. Well, he's given us everything in Jesus, and he explained the principle of seed time and harvest in the Bible, and he expects us to receive it by faith because we believe his word.
That's right.
And when I say he's not moved by need, he is moved by us acting in faith on his financial promises.
Amen.
And his promises are in the word of God, and not just financial, healing, you know, deliverance, you know.
Promises in the word.
Promises in the word. Everything moves by faith.
That's right.
By faith.
I mean, and I just want to throw this other. I just think this is so important to understand. When a child runs up to mom and says, I got this all, you know, tangled up. And mama said, I'll fix it, you know. And they run outside. They don't sit there and go, are you sure you can fix it? Are you, you know, do you want to fix it for me? When God gives a principle, you know, and you run up to your Heavenly Father and you go, Lord, you know, Father God, this is in the Word and I'm receiving it. You know, I mean, it is a done deal because he said it. And when you believe it, it will begin to manifest. Jesus himself in Matthew 9:29 said, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you.
We need
to aggressively exercise our faith to prosper and receive a return. See, the enemy likes to come in and go, well, you know, if it doesn't happen the next day. Actually, I just heard this recently, and I wanted to stand up. It was actually in church today. I wanted to stand up because the, you know,
the pastor was actually starting to talk
about. He was just starting the financial series. And I'm going, I could help you, but no, just kidding. No, he's a great preacher. But he said, you know, he's talking about giving. He said, have you ever just started to believe God and then it all gets worse? And see, I want to stand up and go, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to think, is when it gets worse, that's when you know it's working. Because he's about to lose you. You know, he's about to lose you, because if you have faith in God's word and it comes to pass, you're not going to turn back. That's the way you know that you know. And see, he takes those baby steps that people are making, and, you know, something happens and they go, this isn't working, this isn't working. No, you have to continue to work the word. Sorry, I'm just getting really preachy tonight. But that's what we're here for, right?
According to your faith.
There you go.
We need to create an environment in which the word of God works. So we need to make sure that our thoughts are faith thoughts.
That's right.
Or as we like to call them, rich thoughts.
Amen.
That's what it needs to be. And as you were saying, don't be discouraged if there is an economic drought around you, or if it seems right. like things just aren't going well, or the doctor yeah. gives you another negative report.
That's right.
You know, don't give ear to that.
According to
give
your faith.
Give ear to the word of God.
Amen.
And according to your faith, be it unto you.
Acts 3:16 in the Contemporary English Version says, you see this man and you
like
know
this.
Him. He put his faith in the name of Jesus and was made strong. Faith in Jesus made this man completely well while everyone was watching.
According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for strong is G4731, and it means to make solid, to make firm, to make strong. It's the same Greek word that's used in Acts 16:5 in the Classic Amplified Bible, which says, so the churches were strengthened and made them firm in faith, and they were increased in number day after day.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 3:8, Contemporary English Version. Your strong faith in the Lord is like a breath of new life. And there's moments where there's just like a burst of faith.
That's right.
You know, breakthrough is a revelation that takes you beyond all previous points. And when that burst of faith comes, you feel a sense of just power.
That's right.
Being released into you, because that's what's happening.
And that's what the enemy hates.
Oh, he hates it, all right.
Because you're growing. You're going from glory to glory then, and he doesn't like it.
I'm going to read one more, and then you read the rest.
Okay, that's fine.
Matthew 15:28, God's Word Translation. And Jesus answered her, woman, you have strong faith. What you wanted will be done for you. At that moment, her daughter was cured.
I love that story.
Now, underline, you have strong faith. What you wanted will be done for you. The key to getting done what you want done, strong faith. Strong faith.
That's right.
And faith is something that has to be exercised.
16 in the New Living Translation. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. Ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people, everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. Hallelujah. Let me read one more scripture about being strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10 in the Classic Amplified. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides.
Hallelujah.
So everything we have, like you said earlier, is in Christ. Wow.
Okay. Strong faith.
Amen.
There's a lot of power in this.
That is.
That first point.
That's it.
Number two, rebuke Satan and command him to release your harvest.
There you go.
The enemy will do everything possible to keep you from experiencing financial success. Because if he can keep us broke and living in lack.
That's right.
Then he can keep us or make us ineffective.
That's right.
For the kingdom of God. And that's what he wants. Well, Brother Harold, I can be effective for the kingdom without money. Well, yeah, you can pray. Prayer is important.
True. Prayer is important.
And you know, it's critically important. But if you want to bless somebody financially, then that happens when seeds are sown.
That's right.
Praying is good. Sowing seed brings
a harvest. Sends people around the world.
And this is it. I should have put it on the outline, but I didn't. Any part of a harvest you don't receive, any part of a harvest you don't receive has been stolen by Satan, the enemy of your success. Any part of a harvest that you don't receive has been stolen by Satan, the enemy of your financial success and harvest. Mm-hmm. What should you do if that happens? Rebuke the rascal. Rebuke him.
That's right.
And let me say before we get into the rebuke, is don't give him aid and comfort to the enemy.
That's right.
By the words of your mouth. You know, just don't do that. You know, it's kind of like I hear people say, well, flu's going around. Well, it's going around me.
Amen.
Because I'm not getting it.
Going.
And it goes somewhere else.
That's right.
But you see, well, flu's around here. I hope I don't get it. Well, you better do more than hope.
Have faith in God.
Have faith in God and confess it.
Amen.
And move on.
That's right.
That's what we do.
And God, for our finances, he gives us an incredible promise, which we put right on there. Malachi 3:11. If you're having trouble, I'd just be confessing this all the time. Because the Lord says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, obviously, they're living in an agrarian society, but what he's saying is the seed you put into the kingdom, you know, I will, when you do this, he's talking about tithes and offerings, I will rebuke it, I'm going to get going. It's good. I mean, it's good. He's going to rebuke the devourer for our sakes.
And when you think about that scripture, rebuke the devourer, it was an agrarian society. And the devourer came in from all directions.
That's right.
You know, the locusts, you know.
They didn't have pesticides.
It came in from all directions. And the scripture says, I will rebuke the devourer, meaning everywhere, for your sake. And that's what we need to understand. God did it for them.
He's doing
it for us and everybody else.
Amen.
For you too. Boaz told his workers not to rebuke Ruth for picking up the handfuls of grain that he had told them to leave for. In Psalm 106:9, Moses rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. Psalm 119:21, and wander from your commandments. Mm. And we like Zechariah too, don't we, babe?
Mm-hmm. Zechariah 3:2 in the Classic Amplified says, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord now and habitually chose Jerusalem, rebuke you.
There's a lot more in the scripture about rebuking the enemy, but that's something you need to do. If the enemy, my mom, if she sneezes, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. It's just as automatic as breathing for her to do that. But you get to where, devil, you're just a liar, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, because the Word of God says.
By Jesus' stripes, I've already been healed.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
Here's a confession. I wrote it out for you.
Yeah.
Change it, adapt it, make it yours, add to it, delete it. But most of all, do it in one form or another. Satan, I rebuke you in the strong name of Jesus. I rebuke your sinister efforts to steal my harvest, rob me of my dreams, devour my financial success and my destiny. I'm wise to your tricks, traps, and lies. In the strong name of Jesus, I bind you, your lies, deceptions, and strategies, according to Matthew 18:18, which is my right, my inheritance as a born-again child of God. I command you to release my harvest, and I'm serving notice that I'm demanding, according to Proverbs 6:31, a sevenfold return
Amen.
On all you've stolen or tried to steal from me. release my harvest now in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You can change it, make it yours, but most of all, confess it.
Yes.
Gives you a little resurrection power.
Right punch.
That's
yeah.
it.
That's it. Number,
can you do that again?
No, you keep going.
I liked it.
Thank you.
Number three, commission your ministering angels to bring your harvest to you.
Amen.
I love it when we talk about this. Because by speaking the word, you and I can commission and dispatch the angelic host to bring harvest to us, to bring us favor, to minister to us,
mm-hmm.
and yes, even bring us money. So many things.
That's right. In Psalm 103:20, one of my favorites, I love Psalm 103 anyway, says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word."
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to say, the last scripture in Hebrews chapter 1 also talks about, are angels not sent to minister to the saints? So anyway, just that's just another 1-2 punch.
Scripture says, excel right. in strength.
Amen. Listen
We're
to
not
this.
Talking about some little chubby cherubim that you see Valentine's, where they got a little cupid with an angel
that's
with a little...
Right.
tiny little arrow gonna shoot somebody's heart. That's not the kind of angel we're talking about. We're talking about angels that excel in strength.
That's right.
And do his commandments, hearkening into the voice of his word.
His word.
We speak his word. And he's dispatching the strongest, the most elite warrior angels on our behalf.
Amen.
And God's angels can get the job done.
There you go.
Can somebody say hallelujah? Now, next, he tells angels to follow his instructions
right.
and to obey the voice of his word. Now, get ready for this. When we speak the word of God, we're summoning the strongest, the most elite warrior angels to work on our behalf.
We need to see that in the spirit.
We need
to see
to get
them
a hold
going
of
forth.
When you speak the word, you need to see angels
that's right.
being dispatched,
that's right.
going to work on your behalf.
That's right.
Because that's what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak the word, you've just energized
yeah.
the host of heaven to work on your behalf.
And it's good to visualize it in your spirit. Hebrews 1:13-14. Oh, this is the one I was quoting, and I got carried away and did it ahead of time, but I love this one. Hebrews 1, I forgot we put it in here, 13-14 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them?"
The angels all ministering
shall be
spirits.
Servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation. That I had forgotten, yay God, because that is so powerful.
I want to encourage you
Amen.
To go to Blue, have a Strong Concordance.
Yeah.
Go to blueletterbible.com.
Is it .org or .com? Could be .com.
Find out. If
it's But it's Blue Letter Bible, I know.
I think
it'll
it's
pop
.com.
Up. I can do
but
that.
But go there and you can look it up.
That's right.
And it has Strong Concordance.
.org.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Look it up and look up the Greek definition of ministering spirits.
So you put this scripture
but it'll open your
strong.
Eyes when you realize the Greek definition of ministering spirits.
It will energize your faith.
We've taught it before,
yeah,
but tonight you get to do a little homework.
There you go.
Do that. Blue letter. Bible.org. Strange name, but great site.
It is a great site.
Now, it's important to notice that in both the King James and the Classic Amplified Bible, Scripture translation says that the angels are not ministering to them, but for them.
Right.
And that's a big difference. Not ministering to them, but for. Working on their behalf.
Working on their behalf. Working
when you
on
and I speak
our
their,
behalf.
Our behalf. When we speak the word of God, we're releasing our angels by faith to fulfill his promises to us.
Amen.
Not just financial, but every promise that's made to us in the Bible.
Amen.
And
that's good.
Yep.
And this is our year of unlimited miracles.
And financial success.
And financial success.
Number four, your scriptural confessions will release your harvest and eliminate your debts.
I love it. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Sometimes I like to say, the mountain of whatever it is that I'm facing, a mountain of debt, or a mountain of this certain thing, or a mountain, you know, because it may appear to be a mountain, but if you need it moved, you speak it like you would, you know, maybe you don't want to go out and like speak to a mountain outside, but you can speak to your mountain, whatever that mountain might be in your life at this point.
Yeah. If you want, while you're at Blue Letter Bible, if you want to have another interesting
hallelujah
look.
Hallelujah time.
Hallelujah time. Look up Mark 11:23.
Yeah, and look through
and
those
what you
words.
Want to look up is every time it says saith. Saith.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because there are different Greek words used there. And I, we don't have time to get into it tonight.
It is so good, though.
But it is good.
It'll make you shout.
It really will. Just study the Greek words there. Maybe we'll talk about it one morning this week or sometime again. We talk about it.
On occasion.
But what the word, Greek word saith means is amazing. It really is. I'll give you a hint on one of them.
Okay.
One of the Greek words, in fact, it's in there twice, is the Greek word Lego. Believe it or not, Lego, L-E-G-O. That's where Lego toys and, you know, all that comes from. The Greek word Lego. And one of those words for saith is defined, or is a Greek word.
It's a building block. What's Legos? What are Legos? They're building blocks. And you're building like a foundation. Anyway, it gets very interesting about what it is you're actually doing.
It really does.
It will.
It gives a whole different context to it.
It does. Okay. So last part of that in the Classic Amplified says, does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes in what he says will take place. It will be done for him. When you start reading those definitions, you will, without a shadow of doubt, your faith will go, I am believing for this without any doubt.
So you need to be free of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to believe that whatsoever you saith will take place.
That's right.
Speak to your harvest. Speak to your money.
Thank you,
speak
Lord.
To the circumstances,
bring it in.
Situations in your life. When it comes to money, harvest manifest now. Money come now. Dr. Leroy Thompson wrote a book on that.
He did.
Money cometh.
Money cometh.
But just speak. In fact, speak to your bills and tell them they're paid in full.
No.
And, you know, I'm not getting into it tonight, but we've taught before how to speak to your bills. How to put them all out in the living room. How to talk to them.
That's
not
going to
do it tonight. We've done it before. But you can do that.
I want to make one point, though.
Go.
If you don't sow, you're not going to reap. So you can't see. Come. It's like Harold loves to do this. I'm going to do it for him. You know, you can't say, well, I'm going to give when my ship comes in. He goes, as he likes to say, if you didn't send the ship out, don't be looking for a ship to come in, because as the song goes, you'll be sitting on the dock of the bay wasting time waiting for that ship. You got to send that ship out for that ship to come back. That's what it takes. But God says, you give and it shall be given to you.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is good.
He is.
I'm not going to wait for you to look it up. I think we need to talk about Mark 11:23.
Well, get on
so
it,
look
buddy,
because
I've preached myself happy tonight.
I know. We got to move along. But this is critical.
This is it. You got it?
Yeah, I do. You remember the scripture. You got it in front of you. Mark 11:23.
Look at it.
For verily I say unto you, the first use of the word say is the Greek word G3004.
Take it down.
G3004.
That's Lego.
And it means Lego. And like we said, that's where the the word Legos come from the kid's toy. It literally means the words you speak are building blocks.
You're building
with the blocks. The first use of the word, you got that. Then it says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this is from the King James, is the Greek word epo, E-P-O. That's G-2036, which means command. It means command. And then it says, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall doubt, and his heart shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. This first use of the word saith is the Greek word laleo, L-A-L-E-O. And it means to speak out, to speak out. Then the scripture says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And the second use of this word saith here is again the Greek word for Lego, G-3004.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to read this to you with those meanings as to how Mark 11:23 sounds when you understand this. Here it is. For verily your words are building blocks, that whosoever shall command to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he speaks out shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he builds with his own words.
Think of that.
Totally different meaning and context. So you can still go to bluelittlebible.org and look it up.
See how important it is to be speaking the word and building what it is that you're wanting to have happen and not letting the enemy talk you out of it.
Mm. That's critical. Number five. God wants you prosperous and financially successful.
Wow. Psalm 35:27. We love this one, right? Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them be say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now, you know, we've preached this a lot, but let me say this. This is another building block, maybe we should say, coming off of this other scripture, in realizing that God wants you prosperous. He wants you. He's not putting you through something to, you know, he's building your, you are building the faith. Yes, you have resistance, but you wouldn't know you had faith if there was no resistance. So, you know, you have to hold on to that, believe God over the world situation, and it will come to pass. So it says, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Strong's Concordance says magnify means to grow, to become great, to praise, magnify, or do great things. The New Living Translation says it this way. Let them continually say, great is the Lord who delights in blessing his servants with peace.
So the question is, what delights you?
There you go.
What gives you pleasure? What about our Heavenly Father? What delights him?
Yes.
What gives him pleasure? What enables him to do great things? Our prosperity.
That's right.
Every father and mother,
yes,
grandparent
should, if they don't,
should take pleasure when their children do well in school or sports.
Yeah.
You ever heard someone say, maybe you said it, that's my son, that's my daughter.
That's right.
I'm so proud of them. My daughter's such a real joy and a great student.
That's right.
You say those kind of things. And we tend to brag, not, and I'm sure it's modestly and appropriately, on our children. We do. But see, that's what God does.
That's right.
That's what God does.
He wants to.
He delights, takes pleasure in our prosperity. He can do great things, as the scripture says, through our prosperity.
Mm.
Now, if God is delighted and takes pleasure in our prosperity, how does he feel when we're broke and up to our eyeballs in debt? And see, if our prosperity, don't hate me now when I say this, if our prosperity gives him pleasure, makes him happy, how does he feel when we live
from paycheck to Prozac?
and lack. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we do that?
That's right.
You did that good. And why would he not be happy about that?
Mm.
Because being broke and lack and debt and doubt, that's not a part of his covenant for us.
Mm-mm.
So he's not happy when we're living contrary
right.
to his covenant for us.
That's right.
Deuteronomy 8:18 says mm-hmm. that he's given mm-hmm. us the power to get wealth.
That's right.
Why did he do that? It wasn't so we could buy a Learjet and a Corvette, though he's got nothing against that. But it's a matter of priorities. He gave us the power to get wealth so that we can be a blessing. He's blessed us
That's right.
to be a blessing to others.
Amen.
And you can't bless anybody else if you're so broke you can't pay attention.
That's right.
You can't do it. And let me just say this too. If you're broke at the moment, don't start making excuses for the situation or get mad at us. We're just quoting the Word of God. God wants us to believe. He wants us to believe it, confess it, and receive it.
That's right.
Brother Harold, I've been tithing, I've been giving, we're not there. Well, what the enemy wants to do is to discourage you.
That's right.
To make you think it's never going to happen.
That's right.
It happens to everybody else but you. And he wants that. See, this is not a what's going to happen this week kind of thing, or this month, maybe even this year, or several years. You know, God looks at things in the long haul.
Mm.
And if you're not there, don't allow the enemy to get you goat, as the saying goes.
Just remember that everything you do today builds toward what you're going to receive tomorrow.
And
that includes the words of your mouth.
And I put it down for you, I think, on the outline. Some you can personalize.
Yes.
Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure and the prosperity of, and put your name. Let the Lord be magnified that hath pleasure in the prosperity of Maya. Let the Lord be magnified that has pleasure in the prosperity
of Fred.
Of Fred. Hallelujah. Number six. We got to move on.
Yep.
Be patient.
There we go. It's really what you were building into.
Yep. Do not doubt. Do not become discouraged, double-minded, or any of the other D words.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of bad D words. Debt, depression, discouragement.
Right.
Disappointment, you know, all kinds of.
But we are not discouraged.
Nope.
Hebrews 10:35-36.
Encourage yourself.
In the New Living Translation. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. See, we got built up when we were in Mark 11:23. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Hallelujah.
You see that what we underline, and you see we put then in bold because it is a progression.
That's right.
And you have to follow that progression.
That's right.
Then.
Do this and then.
This will happen.
Galatians 6:9 in the Classic Amplified. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due season, the Amplified says, and at the appointed season we shall reap, at the appointed season. If we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint, boy, I could preach on that.
I know you could.
I know, I could really go on tonight. Patience produces great rewards. Proverbs 21:5, this is in the New Living Translation. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. We should learn our lesson. The last part of Numbers 23:19 in the Message Bible. This is a powerful insight, too, and a promise. It says, does he not speak? This is, you know, God is not a man that he should lie. But the last part of it says, does he speak and not do what he says? Does he promise and not come through? I love that. You know, I mean, that's just saying to you, look, didn't he say it? Won't he do it? Because it is the Lord God.
And if you doubt it, well, if you doubt that, how do you believe in salvation?
Yeah.
You know, how do you believe in everything else?
How do you believe you're going to heaven?
Yeah, how do you believe that? You know, you don't doubt.
That's right.
You don't doubt. Well, our part's to learn to wait with patience for our profits. Number seven, where's your harvest coming from?
All right. Luke 6:38. This is in the New Living Translation. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give, this is important, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. We could preach that one too.
Does that scripture say the amount you think about giving?
There you go.
Does it say?
The amount you intend to give.
The amount you intend to give.
That's right. When you get a chance.
That's it. It says the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Is that
That's
clear?
Right. Goes right along with, and I'll let you explain it, Malachi 3:10 in the Classic Amplified. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Open?
How's it met? Yep.
The windows of heaven.
Try it.
If you don't tithe and give offerings, they're closed. When you tithe and give offerings, they're open.
When you tithe, it opens. And when you give offerings, it the measurement up above in Luke 6:38 is how much is going to be poured out when God starts pouring it out.
We could teach that all night.
Yeah, we could teach it all night.
See, we never have to wonder how God's going to get money to us.
That's right.
He's God. He can get it to us.
I know. I love
whoever He chooses, but whatever method He chooses, it's not our job to worry about it. It's our job to believe that He can and He will.
Amen.
And the question is, has He gotten money to you before? If He has, He'll do it again. Things like promotions, increased sales, unexpected inheritances, large commissions, better opportunities, increased value of real estate.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, all any number of ways He can.
That's right.
And if He chooses, He can even put a coin in a fish's mouth.
That's right.
And
think of that.
And see, that took faith, because Peter was a fisherman. I guarantee you he'd never seen a coin in a fish's mouth before.
I bet he was going down to that sea thinking, okay, I got to see this.
Yeah.
I got to see this.
But he went
in
faith.
And he believed.
And believed.
That's right.
And got his taxes paid. And Jesus' taxes paid.
That's right.
Because of it.
Wow. I love it.
We need to stop trying to figure out how God's going to get money to us. But we just need to accept the fact that He will. And we need to begin expecting to happen today.
Today.
And tomorrow. And next day and every day. Now, I'm going to have a little fun here. I don't know if you saw the article in January, news story, that Warren Buffett is now worth $73 billion. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it makes me happy. It makes me very, very happy. Why? I'm going to tell you a secret. Warren Buffett works for me. He does. He works for me.
And he works for you too, really.
He does. Several years ago, I read an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel newspaper. And it said, quote, Warren Buffett is an agnostic rationalist who gave up belief in God at an early age, end quote. An agnostic is a person who feels that God's existence can neither be proved or disproved based on their current experience. So let's see. Warren Buffett doesn't believe in God, meaning he hasn't accepted Jesus as his Savior. So that means he's a sinner. That's correct, right?
That would be correct.
That would be correct. Now, Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
All right.
I told you he worked for me. The New Living Translation, Proverbs 13:22, the sinner's wealth passes to the godly.
Woo.
Guess what? Warren Buffett is working for all of us. And he don't even know it. And you say, well, Brother Harold, when does it start coming? That's up to God. But we just got to know what the Word of God says.
That's right.
Now, hopefully he gets saved before he leaves planet Earth.
And then he'll just give it in tithes and offerings.
But in the meantime.
The point of it is, that's right.
In the meantime, it's important to shift from jealousy of people
That's
like
true.
Buffett,
That's right.
rich centers, to the recognition that they're working for you.
Let me tell you, you can never have what you resent in other people.
That's exactly
And there are a
right.
lot of people. I mean, listen to me now, listen to me. A lot of people resent rich people. You cannot be rich if you resent richness.
Well, if you resent it, you'll never get it.
That's right.
You'll never possess
you'll
it.
You'll just never possess it because you cannot have what you resent. It just doesn't, just not a biblical principle. Ecclesiastes 2:26. Shall I go on?
Yes.
In the New Living Translation says, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. Tell me, just another proof
positive. If you please
positive.
God, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Right here.
Woo.
In River City and around the world, wherever you're watching. Raise your hand. Hallelujah.
All right.
When the wealth transfer comes, here's what James 5:13 says. I think it's 13, 14, or 15. But anyhow.
Classic Amplified. It says, come now, you rich people, weep aloud and lament over the miseries and woes that are surely coming upon you. Your abundant wealth is rotted and is ruined, and your family garments, excuse me, and your many garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are completely rusted through, and the rust will be testimony against you, and it will devour your flesh as if it were fire. You have heaped together treasure for the last days. Now that last is what we're talking about.
In Joel 2:28, the prophet prophesies, then in the last days, the end times, we'll see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit as it occurred in Acts chapter 1 and 2. Joel 2:28 prophesies that. So there's no question. We're living in the end times. The ungodly, the sinners, are heaping up finances for us during these last days, as described in James 5:3. Financing, you know, income, our incoming harvest, so that we can spread the word of God throughout all the earth.
That's right. That is right.
Now, I had a little fun with that, but it's the word. So I'm claiming Warren Buffett is working for us and everybody who supports the Dead Free Army.
There you go.
And all the other centers.
You just never know what God can do.
I could talk more about that, but we're out of time.
We are out of time. We've kind of kept you a little later, but it's been worth it. Because God wants you to know all these things. He does not want you thinking that it's for somebody else. He wants you knowing it is for you.
Tonight we've talked about what God requires of you. Tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern on Rich Salts for Breakfast, we're going to talk about things that God does not require of you. Seven things God does not require of you.
Okay.
You want to make sure you, unless it changes during the night, but that's at this point what it is. And as always, subject to change.
It is true.
Make sure you go to the home page and watch the 2-minute video for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Watch them every week. It'll bless you. And while you're there, if you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse up at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says.
That's all we ever ask.
And all we ever will. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you.
We do.
God bless you.